Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, Chef. Sports City, Chef, Chef. Yeah. Cap. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.
Hello, how you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, December 23rd, 2021. This is the Crossover Cafe. Right now, you got me solo, as I've actually been out of hand for about a month now. It's been a pretty crazy month, but we're sitting here 2 days before Christmas Day, which I mean, Christmas Day and basketball season, they're synonymous. You know, you think about Thanksgiving has always seemed to be the big day for football, and then Christmas, it feels like, as long as I can really remember, Christmas Day has been the dominant show. I mean, there's no games as of right now. Tomorrow, Friday 24th, there's no games on Friday, and then Saturday we have a slew of matchups, starting with Atlanta going to New York. So you got Trae Young potentially going back to the Garden. You have Boston going to Milwaukee. So the showcase name there is obviously a chance to see Giannis Antetokounmpo. You have an absolute great matchup at 5 p.m. Eastern of Golden State and Phoenix. Right now, number two going to number one, as Golden State has fallen to that two seed while Phoenix has risen to that number one seed on that 5 o'clock Christmas Day game. Could you ask for much more? And then you have Brooklyn versus L.A. in L.A., and it seems kind of fitting that that game would be in L.A. It's an interesting matchup, and I'm looking forward to that one. As a Brooklyn Nets fan, but as kind of the person who would tune into that game for stars, star power, you're LeBron, you're Westbrook, you kind of wonder what you're going to get out of there, and especially everybody knows right now what's going on with COVID. You don't know. You know, they always say card is subject to change when you're going to certain sporting events or anything of that nature. Player subject to change. I feel like that is being taken into account more the last couple of weeks than we've ever seen, especially, and we'll take a quick look at where some of the numbers are. I know the Sports City Chefs have been out here on all sorts of shows and all sorts of platforms. You can always read our stuff at www.sportscitychefs.com. But on the shows, you know, we'll talk about something last night, and then today will happen, and something new and crazy is going to happen. I know, for instance, speaking of that Nets game, it looks like there's a chance they might be able to get a James Harden back. And we have, you know, you've had Durant carrying that team. And in just the last week, it's only been the last week since the announcement of Kyrie both coming back and then entering protocols. And then we'll end that Christmas Day slate going to Utah. And I think that is one of the best, like, one, you know, heavy hitter puncher matchups that we've got going on. Now, I'm looking at my board here, and it looks like we got I can't actually see it, since my computer is being weird, but we got somebody on the line. Who's there?
Yo, world talk, my guy. I'm going to need you to understand and realize my area code and my zip code. What's going on, my guy? How are we doing tonight?
What's going on, my man? Hey,
Not much, man. Did you have a
chance to really stop and salivate over this Christmas Day lineup? I know that's what I was just talking about. I just love to speculate. I love looking at upcoming games more than I look at highlights of past games. Is there any one of those? I don't know if you were listening, Aaron, but are there any of those that that jumped out at you that you're looking forward to?
You know, I'm actually looking forward to all of them, to be painfully honest with you, because there's so many intriguing storylines that are birthed from this set of games. You know, who's playing, who's not. Obviously, COVID is running wild amongst the sporting world right now. So that Atlanta Hawks and that New York Knicks matchup is going to be interesting because we don't understand if Trae Young going to play and who's going on there. You know, Brooklyn and L.A. is a very intriguing matchup just for star power alone. Could that be the game that Kyrie comes back because it's on the road in L.A.? And obviously due to, you know, government, you know, situations, he's unable to play in Brooklyn. So that's the game that Kyrie comes back. I mean, there's so many games that I'm looking forward to sitting down with my cup and my food and watching with the little guy. I mean, we can go all over the place with it, but those are the two marquee, if you ask me. You know, is Trae Young going to be able to suit up and play for the Atlanta Hawks, and is Kyrie actually going to be able to play in L.A. for the first time this season? There's a lot of questions around that.
Yeah, I love the idea of Trae Young going into the Garden to open your Christmas Day slate, and especially around here. I mean, I'm telling you, man, it's wild just how Knicks fans are. I mean, I love it. I love the passion of the Knicks fan. I mean, they're crazy, and I think you need to be a little bit of crazy to have stuck through everything the Knicks have put the fans through. But, you know, I think any sports fan, it doesn't need to be just basketball, but you pick any sport. Like Barry Bonds, for instance, right? When Barry Bonds was hitting those home runs, but everybody knew he was doing it ugly, like he could step into any stadium and he'd get booed. And, I mean, you think of basketball, the first guy, you know, again, being in the New York area, I would think of for that would be a Reggie Miller. And I just haven't seen that, like, that enemy, that vitriol. You just see the guy's name, you start seething, and every so often one of those guys will show up from Atlanta to, a non-Knicks Hawks game, and you'll see a dude wearing a Trae Young jersey, and he'll just get booed mercilessly. It's like showing up to Yankee Stadium in a Red Sox jersey in the early 2000s, just that vitriol when you just see the name Trae Young. And I love it. There's just I love sports movies. I love that, like, dramatic shot of the dude coming out of the tunnel in the enemy stadium, and they're all booing him. And it just feels like you get that energy. And, boy, I really hope the NBA gets that for Christmas Day, because that would be just a great way to start it. But, man, let me ask you, Aaron. I mean, what do you think right now? And, you know, I haven't had a chance, I got to admit, I haven't had a chance to tune into any other shows, so any opinions you got right here are raw to me. But what do you how do you feel the NBA is handling all of the, you know, the COVID situation? I mean, just absent of trying to really force these Christmas Day games, but how do you feel, sir, they're doing?
I don't think they're doing well. And that's not just the NBA, but just sports in general. When you have the numbers that we have across the landscape of sports, and you are still proceeding as though numbers are what they were, I don't like where this is trending. I honestly believe that, in my opinion, the NBA, and I can spread across the NFL as well, may need to put this on pause. I think the NHL is kind of giving us the blueprint, if you will, on how to handle these mass cases, you know, put a
like
ball
a breakout,
on everybody,
yeah.
You know, self, you know, quarantine, stay in place, get the numbers
down and then proceed. You know, we do have players that are in our game in the NBA that unfortunately are not vaccinated. And, you know, I'm not going to sit on here and beat a dead horse about whether you should be vaccinated or not. I think if you're looking to my stand on the situation on previous shows, I made that point very, very clear. But at the end of the day, there are men that can play this game that are not vaccinated, and yet the numbers are where they are, yet you bring a Kyrie Irving back into the fold. And, you know, his position on his vaccination status has been very, very well documented. Matter of fact, you know, in some circles, it is praised, highlighted, and put on a pedestal because he has taken such a demonstrative stand against getting the vaccine. Again, his choice, I don't begrudge him for that, but when you have the numbers like they are, And then you bring such a polarizing figure back into the game because of whatever reasons. I said this yesterday on the free for all. If you're the Brooklyn Nets and you draw this hard line in the sand and you don't adhere to said line, your word is nothing. Your stance means nothing. Thus, you lose credibility. To make any other hard stand, whether you're trying to deal with, contract detrimental or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So I don't think the NBA is handling it well. I don't think the NFL is handling it well. I think the only league that's handling this well is the NHL.
Boy, man, that's something else that we're sitting here. I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think right now you kind of – it's tough. Like, I always try to put myself right in the shoe of the commissioner, the guy who has to make the decision. So when I look at basketball, see, the way the schedule – you could do it in basketball, what you're talking about. You could do it in basketball because basketball and hockey have the most, alike schedules. Football, we know you're playing on Sunday, although now it feels like there's a game every other day, which is great as a football fan. But then when we talked about baseball, I did the baseball show over the summer, and it was just, I mean, it's constant. There's always something happening, and especially in today's baseball, there's always something really weird and dramatic going on. But when you look at the basketball season, and it's so star driven, I mean, it's more than, football is a true team sport. And you just take the quarterbacks and it's a whole nother level. But I think in basketball, I mean, a dude's face is the franchise. I mean, Devin Booker, Luka Doncic, Trae Young. We've been talking about that. I'm telling you, if we had a conversation, you and me, and we spent, we said let's take 20 minutes on the Hawks. First off, nobody wants to listen to that, so we wouldn't do it. But if we did, we'd probably say the name Trae Young more than we would say Atlanta Hawks. And I think that's just basketball right now. I mean, you talk about the Nets, right? I wanted to go back to this. You were talking about the Nets and then bringing in Kyrie. And you're saying that you don't think the NBA has handled it well and that you think they should kind of maybe mirror what hockey is doing. And I completely agree with that. I think the fact that the Nets – it's what I wonder is if Kyrie – wasn't as talented as he was or is, would the Nets still have been? Because their logic for bringing him back was, we need the bodies, right? They didn't say necessarily like he's such a talented player, we're getting him back. It's, no, we just need the one body at this point. So if you're willing, my thought is, it seems a little hypocritical. If you're willing to do that, and this guy is willing to throw out like his big whole stance, which hilarious that he stepped back in right before Christmas Day, which is, as I'll say this, I will say this every week, which is when Christmas is when the basketball season starts. I don't know, man. How clung to your morals were you if this is almost a predictable comeback? And if you're the Nets, I don't know. They were very smart, I think, at the beginning of the season, putting their foot down. I don't know. I'm disappointed in Brooklyn in how they handled it.
Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question, though. You know, if we're going to call the Brooklyn Nets smart for how they handle the situation, I'm not sure we can sit there and say that they're still smart with their backtracking and the backpedaling on said situation now. And the thing is, the league put in place a COVID player exemption where people like Joe Johnson, you know, were able to come back
right.
and play for the Boston Celtics on a 10-day if you, you know, have a COVID situation where you don't have enough guys or whatever the case may be. So the league essentially
right.
put something in place to alleviate teams from this situation, and yet you go bring a guy, a polarizing figure like a Kyrie back into the fold and say that you're okay with him being a quote-unquote part-time player when your stance a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, was that you don't want part-time players. You kind of lose credibility.
Here's my one counter to that, and again, not defending Kyrie coming back to the Nets, but I think, and I'll have to go look at it, I think the decision to bring Kyrie back was made before they had that rule in place where it's like, I think the deal is once you have two positives, then you can add a player. Once you get your third positive, you can add another or something like that. I think Kyrie was brought back before those, but it really makes me wonder, like, what if what if they brought him back after these changes were made? You know, I think that would be hypocritical. Like, at this point, it's like, you know, what's Greg Oden up to? You know what I mean? Can Charlotte pull Jordan off the Raptors? Probably better than a lot of the guys playing.
Well, see, here's my counter to your counter, okay? I am a firm believer that nothing happens in this league that comes as a shock to owners, GMs, personnel. Like, it may shock us, a.k.a. the fan. It may shock us, you know, a.k.a. the media or, you know, bloggers or podcasts or whatever it is. But I have a hard time believing that something like this would be approved, thus put into place without significant conversations being had prior to. So, to my chagrin, you know, the fact that this new rule or this new exemption, if you will, is in place, I don't think it will come as a shock to the Brooklyn Nets or any other of the teams because, you know, these guys speak, these guys talk, these guys don't, these guys work for Adam Silver, you know.
It's
not a shock. So, again, it may shock us, but I don't think it shocks them.
So let me ask you, right? If you're a franchise owner, I think you're not unlike me in that. You know, you're very trying to keep everybody safe, right? That's the number one thing. I think everybody within the sound of my voice would agree. Your number one goal is to keep everybody safe. One question I would have too is not just necessarily with the Kyrie thing, is where are you getting the players from? Now I know there's protocols in place where a guy, I think he has to have something like 4 or 5 negative tests before he can join the team, but it seems like with their process of just almost trying to go, okay, listen, let's pull the first guy off the off the court at the gym to fill in. It's just kind of counterproductive. I think this is the one, in my opinion, the one time the NBA having really, really small rosters has completely bitten them. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe they can do something like what baseball is doing, where, you know, in baseball you carry a 25-person roster, an active, you know, game day roster, but you have a 40-person larger roster that's protected. That's kind of, you know, your franchise, and those are the guys that, you know, nobody else can try to poach from your team. You know, that's where your contract is. And I wonder if this could lead to basketball maybe making some type of decision where they say, all right, we're going to have, your 10, 12, whatever, your game day roster, but then there's a larger pool of 20 to 25, and you always have to carry, you know, three guys. And then I think this was what baseball did, and I think football did, or maybe it was football that did this last year, where you would almost have a guy designated to, like, stay at home who does not travel with the team, who almost specifically is away from the team and could join it at the drop of a hat. Now, it'd have to be somebody versatile, but I think you can do that in a sport like basketball as opposed to football. Because football is very, you know, you're in your position. You can't have a wide receiver play, you know, defensive end. But in basketball, I mean, you get a guy who can just kind of play in multiple positions, maybe have two or three guys like that, you know, have one guard, one forward, and maybe a big man. And their job, in a way, you're like, you're paying them to stay at home. It's the, you know, I don't know. It's not a, it's what I just presented. Is it a great solution? Probably not. Are there much better ones? Absolutely. But I think what you need to do is have some contingency in place in case, like, you're like a majority of your roster goes down, because you can't have these things moving forward. Last year was the slightly shorter season. This year we also have some weird caveats going on with the schedule. And I think now that we've had 2 years of evidence on or evidence of actual game day situations, you know, the third year of this, the leagues really should figure it out. And I think Aaron, you know, I know Aaron kind of dropped off there, but, you know, he made a really good point that the NHL has kind of had a solution in mind when they have these problems. And it's just take the team off the table, just build a period of time in the middle of the season where if you need to have makeups, have makeup. You know what? This will sound crazy, but I'm you know, I've got the idea where the NHL has the Olympic break in the middle of the season. Do it with every sport. Why not? Take your MLB All-Star break and make it a true break. Make it something like a week, 2 weeks. And that way, you know, you have a period in there where if you need to fill in one or two series, you can do it. You can easily do that in basketball. All-Star Week, I always thought it was strange in every sport where you have, you know, a team play on, you know, a Tuesday or Wednesday, then have like 2 days off, a group of, you know, maybe one or two guys per team, if that, you know, fly out to some really cool location. And for the rest of the guys, you get like, okay, cool, 4 or 5 day break. Well, you know, give the players an opportunity to do something with, like, their family in the middle of the summer. The more I'm thinking about my idea here, I think it really could be done. You know, what you're also doing is you're making your season longer, and I think that's something that football has figured out to do masterfully, which is stretch the season. So you think about, you know, the football season, really people start talking about end of September, early August, and it's nonstop to a point where you think about football now until February. And then once February is over, then kind of, you know, you head back, college basketball hits its period. And then you jump into baseball and really baseball for the summer. But, you know, early summer basketball still is a big part of our hearts as they hit their second season. Now, I think with basketball, you absolutely could take the All-Star break and make it stretch it from one weekend to the next, right? So it starts on a Friday and ends on the next Sunday. So you have a true weekend there. You'll be able to fill in, you know, 2-3 games at most. I think there's a lot of flexibility that you give the players. And the understanding is if every player, if we have better protocols and we have better opportunity to fight this disease, and we don't have the makeup games, then you know what your rig reward is? Then your reward is you get a week off, like a true, honest-to-God week off. Like, take your kid Disney World, you know, go on a cruise or something with the family. Do something substantial. I always feel bad sometimes for these players when it's like, all right, yeah, you're off on a Thursday, see you back on Tuesday. You know, great. Yeah, you can certainly do something there, but you're just so limited. And, you know, I'm sure that would make a lot of people upset. You know, sympathizing for these millionaires who are playing for billionaires and playing a sport. But there are just certain life things that I think they should get, and specifically time with family. And if you don't have a family, great, then go have a couple. Then you know what? That's where you get your time to party. You know what I mean? That's when, you know, assuming the scenario I just laid out is in place and you're focusing more on, you know, leisure activities and we can go out and do stuff more as a society and go to Vegas or something, man. Just do the Dennis Rodman Bender process and just go crazy for a couple of days and then come back. You know, just don't, you know, don't go Charlie Sheen and everything will be fine. I think there's absolutely an opportunity there for the leagues to build in flexibility. And at the end of the day, that's what we need the most. One of the arguments I've always heard for a reason not to be flexible, was around neutral sites, right? I forget exactly what the narrative is, but you know, there's always been a talk about having like a game seven neutral site for basketball or baseball, right? It would make sense. That way you have three teams win their game at home, three teams win their games away, and you just give it the most neutral site possible. And one of the arguments I heard a lot growing up was, well, how can you do that? How can you just immediately, you know, put a game seven in a city? They're not going to be prepared. They're not going to be ready for it. I'm telling you right now, any city in the country would love to have a game seven. Like if you just said, hey, we're just going to airdrop a, you're just going to airdrop a game seven into Indianapolis, into Miami, into any city, they'd take it in a heartbeat. The TV networks, they would push aside, I think almost any TV network would push aside anything for a basketball game seven of the finals. And that would be something I would only do for the finals. I mean, in your conference championship games, I don't think that's what you want to do. But you know what? You kind of got to make do with what you can. And I think the leagues need to figure this out. You know what I mean? It's a tough situation, and nobody's going to win. Nobody's going to win until you build that process, until you take everything that you've learned over the last 2 years. And, you know, Aaron was saying that it doesn't seem like the NBA has really learned anything. Because they haven't changed. They're just kind of putzing along like they're the only show in town, like they're the only – they don't need to change their rules. They don't need to do anything differently. But even if you listen to the players, they're absolutely showing that they need to change. So it's a very interesting problem. But, you know, I just wonder if – the players need to be a little bit louder about this. Does the Players Association need to get involved? It's a lot of questions to ask. Players Association was able to empower themselves because I often find that the Players Associations are fighting two fights, right? They're trying to protect the players, but they're also, in a sense, they have to protect the league. You know, we see something like that happening in baseball where the association is trying to get their players the most contracts, but at the same time, they're trying to protect the players. That's how this fight, a very public fight, by the way, ended up – the baseball could have easily had 120-ish game season last year, but they ended up with 60 because they couldn't come to an agreement on certain rules and protocol. It was not a big problem, but they made a mountain out of a molehill, it felt like. Now, basketball, I think seems to have pretty solid relations between the players union and Adam Silver. It seems like there's not a lot of animosity. There could be more. There's always room for more animosity. And anybody who looks in our world today knows that sometimes people, I think, just try to have counterpoints just to have counterpoints, which I hate to say it is in this world, kind of understandable. Now, I've always thought there should be some sort of mediation between the two, of the union and the leagues. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen. And maybe now more than ever, there should almost be like a somebody independent, which I guess would be an arbitrator or a mediator, but somebody that's again with this specific time in the world that is talking about player health and player safety. So this would, if you're looking at hockey, you also need somebody objectively to talk about when you're talking, and this is, again, I'm sure this is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but when they took a look at things like fighting in hockey, it's part of the sport. It's just an inherent part of the sport, right? It's hard to take the fighting out of hockey, yet at the same time, they kind of have, because everyone knows it's not the greatest thing in the world, and wailing on guys' heads with a stick, really not a great thing. Some of those hits those guys take are just something else. But you look at football. Imagine if they had an actual true independent mediator when it came to things like player safety and saying, look, this is just what's going to happen. You got to cut down on the head hits. And or maybe if they said, you know what, the shots at the knees are something that, listen, it doesn't matter whether you're the Players Association or you're the league. It's something that's just got to be handled, and they would take the association side, they'd take the team side, and they would say, this is where we're meeting halfway. You can both budge a little bit, but this is sort of how we're going. And then you do the same thing with the NBA. I think there are methods to get that done. But, I'm looking forward to seeing what the NBA can do. I think they have the right people in place to make these decisions, and we'll see. I know as I'm on the air, there's a talk to reduce that 10-day quarantine period because of COVID-positive players. We've seen this new Omicron variant really change things up. So as of right now, the NBA has had 141 players entered into health and safety protocols this season, including 127 December. So pretty much everybody has pretty much been in December, as we all know. But let's move off of this a little bit. And I want to talk a little bit about kind of the season as a whole, right? So one, to me, I think the biggest on-the-court story right now is what's going on in the West. And I don't mean that in a what's going on or anything crazy. In a, it's a very interesting two-horse race out there with Phoenix and Golden State. I definitely am a big believer in Utah. I really like what they're doing out there. But, man, the Phoenix-Golden State, I think it's going to be a season-long back and forth. And I also think that ultimately Golden State's going to finish ahead. He's got, like we all know, I mean, Steph Curry has been on a whole nother level. But they're only going to get better. I mean, you're going to see, Iguodala's got his knee. Klay Thompson, we all know, feels like Klay Thompson's on the verge of coming back anytime soon. And the second you really get Klay in that lineup, they're just going to be even more dangerous. And it's not like, sometimes you'll see a team with a wide receiver that's out in football, and they'll get another star wide receiver back, and like, all right, it didn't really make all that difference. It's not the same when you talk about these two guys with Klay and Steph, because their skill set is both so perfectly unique. You could even make an argument that if you had two of the best slashers in the world, you could have them stand back at the top of the key or something like that, and they could pass the ball back and forth. The center could just kind of swing the ball back and forth. And, the defense, I think, has a better chance at defending that than you have a chance of defending two guys who can just snipe the ball through the net from, from the logo. And we haven't seen Klay do it in a while, and I just wonder if we've maybe even forgotten how good they are. And then on top of all that, we've got Wiggins in the safety protocol. Wiseman still, he has been cleared to come back, but they're taking it slow with him. Why rush anybody back on Golden State right now? So Golden State is only going to get better. And Phoenix, I think Phoenix right now is just one of those teams that's just clicking. You know, you've got the 16-year veteran, Chris Paul. I'm pleasantly surprised. I just didn't think he would be able to sustain this long, but here he is. He's doing it. And a guy like JaVale McGee, you know, Jay Crowder and Frank Kaminsky. Gosh, Frank Kaminsky is the fourth. He's one of the least experienced guys on that roster. Alfred Payton and Cameron Payne have been there for a while, as has Devin Booker. But I mean, none of those guys are near the impact of a Chris Paul. You know, if you look at minutes per game, and I always find this to be an interesting stat when you look at teams because it gives you an idea of their approach. You know, your top minutes guys is Mikal Bridges. And Mikal Bridges right now, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's not doing any one thing that makes you go, oh, I got to have that guy in my roster. But, man, he's a solid, solid presence. And, you know, I will admit, I haven't seen him take any games over or anything of that nature. But he does seem like he's solid, and he's in there. He gets his job done. You know, it's always good to have an important, you know, good important forward. But that team, we all know, it feels like it's Chris Paul's team, even though it's Devin Booker. I mean, I don't know, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, that is a vicious trio. That is a really, really good core. And you just take so much pressure off of a guy like DeAndre Ayton, off of a guy like Jay Crowder and Cameron Johnson, who are the other guys who are averaging over 24 minutes a game. So I think, I really got to say, they have a really good coach, Monty Williams. He's getting the most out of that team. I think that's what I'm really pleased with. I mean, the guy, he's 50 years old, and he's really I guess when he was coaching the Pelicans, he was all right too. But, you know, I look at that 2015 Pelicans team that he had. And, you know, that was an Anthony Davis team. There's no way around it. I was trying to paint it a little bit nicer in my head, but, you know, that was an Anthony Davis team. And then we saw that get run out of him, or him get run out of there, I should say. But he's gotten the most out of the guys in Phoenix, and I do think there's an extent to which Chris Paul is a coach. And we'll see these two teams. I mean, they'll race it down the whole year. There's no way either of these teams will completely be out of it. I think Golden State will have a period where they'll maybe go, you know, 5-3 over an 8-game stretch. And that will be possibly when they're kind of recalibrating the roster once, you know, you've got Clay, Wiggins, Wiseman, who I truly expect to not change the team in any way, shape, or form. I think they'll be the same Warriors. But the dynamic will just be the delicate dynamic of these franchises, of these teams, will be altered just enough to cost them a couple games, and it's okay. They got the games to give. You know, those games to give, sure, that'll help Phoenix, but I also fully expect Phoenix to have periods where they also go 5-3, but I think they're a team that's more likely to have a couple stretches, you know, maybe two or three stretches of 5-3 ball, where Phoenix, I just don't see them going on multiple big losing stretches. They're just it always reminded me of when the Yankees would have Andy Pettit pitch, you know, like those 98 Yankees. They just literally couldn't lose more than three in a row, because at some point, you know, Andy Pettit was going to take the hill and get you a win. You knew it's still true today. I mean, you put Tom Brady out there, you're not going to have a big losing streak. He's going to win you a couple games out there. And I think Steph Curry is that guy in the NBA. I think LeBron had that in the past. Now he kind of, you know, he needs a B, but they're getting there. No, speaking of LeBron, you know, I want to talk about Cleveland. Cleveland is 19-13 on the season, and they're not doing I don't think they're doing anything terribly spectacular right now. Their defense, though, I guess I shouldn't say they're doing anything spectacular and tell you how great the defense is. The defense is I think they might be the lowest, if not somewhere around there, the lowest points allowed per game. Now, they're not putting up, you know, they've got a good defense like Phoenix and Golden State, but they're not putting up the same amount of points. But they're also in the Eastern Conference. And, I mean, we all understand that the Eastern Conference isn't, you know, isn't necessarily the king of all. But, I mean, if you look at the way the last number of games have gone for Cleveland, they're doing it, and they're doing it impressively. So let me just take a quick glance here at some of their last couple of games. The last game they lost to the Celtics, 111-101. So it was a 10-point loss, so be it. But what I want to talk about is a little six-game stretch that they had here where they beat the 15-92. They beat the Wolves 123-106. They beat the Kings 117-103. They beat the Heat 105-94. They crushed the Rockets 124-89. And they crushed the Bucks 119-90. Now, a lot of those teams were shorthanded. I get it. That game, especially that game against the Bucks, right? You know, you're like saying, oh, my gosh, 119-90. You know, there's definitely, I think, a part of everybody that wants to say, oh, don't take it too seriously. I mean, you're relying on a guy like Javonte Smart to carry the Milwaukee franchise right now. But look, you got to win the games that are put in front of you. And I think going back to like what I was just talking about with Golden State, there's just this cohesiveness that you get in team sports that you desperately need, and they're building it, and this is a great time to build it. I'm a Jets fan, right? I think anybody out there listening to me knows that. That's the one thing the Jets can't do, is they just can't really put a core group of guys together. That's why you shouldn't buy any Jets jerseys, because you buy a jersey of a guy and he'll be gone the next day. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of Giants fans would understand the same thing. They can't seem to quite get that front office alignment correct with the coach, the head coach, the GM, and the quarterback. They just can't get all on the same page at the same time. Look, I like what Cleveland's doing. Yes, I'm taking their great success with a grain of salt, because yes, they had a 5-game losing streak in mid-November, but those losses were to the Celtics, the Nets, the Warriors, the Nets again, and the Suns. Literally every one of those teams, I mean, is a bona fide title contender, with the exception of maybe the Celtics, who I don't know what to make of the Celtics. I just don't trust the Celtics. I don't think I've ever seen such a talented team not – I've never seen such a talented team really not put it together. It's really interesting. I mean, it's Udoka's first year as a coach over in Boston, with Brad Stevens having taken a step back and gone upstairs. It's a 500 team. They're eighth in the East. You're going to be able to say you're playing in a bigger tournament than just walking away at the end of the regular season. I thought the Joe Johnson signing was fantastic. Now, is it good for the team? I don't know, but I thought it was hilarious. I really enjoyed seeing some old highlights of Joe Johnson, including one of him defending Jordan in a Wizards jersey, which was just, boy, Joe Johnson's been around for a long time. So that was pretty interesting. But you're starting to see these teams come up with creative ways to fill out their rosters. It's going to be an interesting, again, second half of the season isn't fair. I mean, some of these teams have played like 32 games. We still got 50 to go. But there's like two halfway points in the NBA season. There's the Christmas break. I'm putting in air quotes. You can't see it because of the radio. And then there's the All-Star break. So, if you want to think of it in some ways, you can almost argue that the season is in thirds based on those. I'd be really interested to hear or to talk to maybe an NBA player one day and just understand how they view the chop of this season. But we'll see. There's a lot of basketball to go. Right now, the Brooklyn Nets, I think, are probably the team to beat, and I just don't want to sound too biased on that because I am a Nets fan. I think the Bulls just are either a player away, or they just need to show me a little bit more. But I also think this could be a situation where the Bulls do put it together towards the end of the season. The Bucks, once they get Giannis back, they'll be fine. I don't see the Cavs holding together. Actually, the Heat for a team with such a good record, I think they're playing ball, but they're still underachieving somehow. I'm sold. I remember when Eric Spoelstra first went to the Heat, and I didn't know who the dude was, but I was like, all right, LeBron picked his coach, but the guy has really proven that he doesn't need LeBron there. So, hey, listen, a lot of basketball to go. I'm really excited about the rest of the season. I encourage everybody to hang in there, though. We all know that this right now is a very tough period with the COVID situation, with the number spiking. It first and foremost, I hope anybody who's listening have a really good holiday. Stay safe, stay sane. Be kind to each other. Just give a shout out to my mom, who's had a couple of heart surgeries since I was last on, and that is one of the reasons for my absence. And I appreciate everybody holding serve while I've been out. But listen, you listen to the Crossover Cafe. We're going to be here on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern. I encourage everybody to check us out constantly on www.sportscitychefs.com, www.sportscitychefs.com. Take a listen to our work on wherever you can find your podcast, Apple, Spotify. I'm pretty sure if you ask Alexa to do it, she'll do it for you. But I'm going to wrap this up a little bit early because I can feel my voice starting to go. But it is truly an honor to be here on the airwaves with the Sports City Chefs. Aaron, great talking to you. Barry, we love having you in the spot, and I'm looking forward to doing this with you again. Make sure you check out all of our other shows. I mean, I've got the airtime, so I'm just going to bring up some of the other great things that we've got. We always have the cookout with The Villain and Timeless. Those are always great. The free-for-all, I think the free-for-all is one of the best shows that we've got going with the Sports City Chefs. A lot of great football talk, and if you're like me, if you listen to this show, if you listen to my baseball show with Nate, you'll know that I'll frequently bring up football, and football, we all know, is king. Just look at the ratings. But basketball's coming up. We're going to cross you over. We're going to take you over, football. We're coming for you. But check us out. We got a lot of good stuff, a lot of good people, and I'm really proud of everybody on the shows. Thanks for listening to me today. Like I said, we're going to cut it a little bit early today. Make sure you take a little bit of extra time that you have. I know you allotted an hour to sit down and enjoy this show. Make sure you wrap those presents extra tight. Tell everybody that you love them. Have a great night, everybody. And I have said enough for a lifetime. And for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Connecticut.